Rosita has a word she'd like to share with us.
Yeah, truly amazing grace and amazing love. As I was having breakfast this morning, the Lord truly dropped in my spirit, my covenant is forever. And I thought, Lord, we can't even think in terms of forever. When we look around us, the time we are in, covenants are broken left, right, and center. Marriages, the husband goes to greener fields, greener pastures, or the wife looks for more excitement. Covenant means so little. And we live in a time where competing and competitiveness and performance, if you don't perform, you're out. But the one thing we need to bear in mind, that covenant of love the Lord Jesus made with us is forever. You do not have to perform, or when you don't quite measure up, that you think, is God going to drop me? Is he going to look for green pastures? No. God's covenant is forever. He will never, ever change his mind on his covenant. So that is the word what the Lord wants us to lay hold of. It is not your performance. It is what Christ, his performance, what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Amen.
This week, I had an incredible privilege to host a gentleman. His name is Wilfred, and I'm about to introduce you to him. But before I do that, I wasn't really planning to ask Wilfred to share a message with us. And as I said, I spent a couple of days with him, a couple of evenings. And I was actually blown away by Wilfred. He's an incredible man. And it's not because he's 61 years old and he's walked the Christian life for a very long time. Coming from Nigeria, obviously a persecuted church out there. It's not the fact that he is married to one wife for many, many years and has six daughters. It's not the fact that he studied his first degree in Nigeria and then he followed up with a master's in the States in, I think it was cross-cultural communication. It's not the fact that he has gone around the world to teach people on doing business God's way. It wasn't that either. It was the fact that he loves God so much. And when you spend time with Wilfred, you will see he has a heart after God. And it's such a privilege and such an honor to invite him. I actually heard him share at Road Top on Wednesday. As I said, I was hosting him. I took him there. And the wisdom and the love that comes out of his words are incredible. I hope I'm not raising the expectation too high. But I would like to introduce you to our brother, Wilfred from Nigeria.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, you alone deserve all the glory. For you are the one who did it all for us. You went to Calvary, you spread out your arms, and you gave your all, that we might be gathered here together today in your name. We thank you, Father, that your determined counsel before the foundation of the earth has come to pass this day, because you knew that we were going to be gathered here together. None of us could have dreamed that this day will come to pass. But because of who you are, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who determines the end from the beginning, we are here today, gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that that purpose for which you have kept us alive, that purpose for which you have saved each one of us and brought us here this morning, be established in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that every man, every woman, and every child that is gathered in your name here today, O God, will reach their goal. Father, that every man will reach his or her destination. Every man, every woman will reach his or her destination. Lord, at this time, we draw strength from the Lamb's altar in heaven. We ask, O God, that you will look down from your altar in heaven upon this altar, and that you will send us that fire that will refine this altar, O God. Send us that fire that will purge our hearts this day, that we will be given to you. For you are the one who called us. You are the one who chose us. You are the one who ordained us. Father, let that anointing that you have put on every man, every woman, and every child in this place not be in vain in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let us use the gifts and the talents that you have blessed us with for your glory and your glory alone. Our Lord and our God, from this altar this morning, we speak to every gathering of the saints all over this country, Lord. And we say, Father, let your determined counsel before the foundation of the earth be done in the gathering of the saints all over South Africa in the name of Jesus. Our Lord and our God, wherever your name is named in truth this morning, reveal yourself to that congregation. Father, make that congregation strong and make us strong in this place in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, there are congregations all over this country, all over the world, all over the rest of Africa, where your name is not named in truth, where your word is not preached, O God. Father, in some of those congregations, they are still seeking. We pray that this morning, this day, you will reveal yourself to them, that the truth of your word will become known in those congregations in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, there are many out there. Some on the golf courses this morning. Some on the sports field this morning. Doing anything but seeking your face. Lord, we know that in those gatherings, O God, are people that you have determined to save. And so we are praying that wherever people are playing golf, wherever people are playing other sports, wherever people are gathered doing anything that is not exalting your name this morning, that in your mercy, Lord, you will reach into those gatherings and begin to touch those that you have appointed for salvation. Let your grace touch them, Lord. For in the name of Jesus Christ, we begin to call them into the kingdom of God. We begin to speak to their spirits and we say, come, for the Lord has need of you. There are things that God wants you to do. Father, we pray for strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We have come to the end of yet another year. We want to say even now, thank you. Because your name is Ebenezer. You who have brought us thus far are more than able to see us right through to the end. We thank you, our Lord and our God, because it is unto Zion we have come. And your word says that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance for your people. So, Father, today we pray that if we have come here today with burdens, we shall not return with them. If we have come with cares and worries and anxieties, Lord, Father, let us find the grace that you have already made abundantly available to drop those cares, those worries, those anxieties right here at your feet, Lord. Because you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Teach us to exchange our burden for yours. and to drop our yokes at your feet. Eternal God, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. We plead that blood this morning. We bring ourselves, our families, and all that you have blessed us with under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. We lift up that blood-stained banner of Jesus and we say to the enemy, you have no part. You have no portion in our midst. You have no portion in our lives. You have no portion with our children and generations to come. Our Lord and our God, right now, we submit unto you and we say, have your way. Speak to us. Speak through us, O God. And let your Holy Spirit be a sift and a sifter of that which we hear. Let us hear only that which you want us to hear. Only that which will bring about your plans and your purposes. And so, Father, we crucify flesh. And we ask that your Holy Spirit reign in our midst now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. My name is Wilfred Oyegun. I'm not exactly a stranger to South Africa. I lived in South Africa with my family for 6 years. My first three children went to university here in South Africa, one to Stellenbosch, and two of them in the University of Cape Town. We lived in Johannesburg for 4 years and in Cape Town for, Johannesburg for 2 years and in Cape Town for four. I am fairly familiar with this terrain because by the special grace of God, he enabled me to travel around all the 9 provinces of South Africa, doing nothing but just sharing the love of God. And so this morning, I want to thank God for confirming his word, because through Sister Rosita this morning, we have heard that God's covenant is forever. God's covenant of love, God's covenant of salvation, God's covenant of blessing. Anything that God has entered into by way of a covenant with us is forever. I bring you the other side of the coin, because the message that God gave me for us this morning, and for me especially, it's interesting the way God works. He brings me to Franschhoek to deal with me. He brings me to Franschhoek to talk to me about my life. So if you hear your name in the message this morning, just substitute that name for Wilfred Oyegun, because God is talking to me as much as he might be talking to you. The message I have to speak to myself and to my brethren who are in the presence of God this morning is that you must finish well. You must finish well. And when God says you must finish well, he's not giving us an option. I could have come here to say you will finish well, and that will be a prayer for you, will be a prayer for me. You will finish well. It's a prayer. So turn to, you know, somebody sitting to your left or to your right and say to that person, you will finish well. You will finish well. Why do I say that? Because God says to us in Philippians 1 verse 6, and being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it before the day of the Lord. That is God's desire for us. That is God's prayer for us. That having begun a good work in our lives, he will be faithful to complete it. Because his covenant is forever. But you see, whether that covenant comes to pass or not depends on you, and it depends on me. God has already shed his blood on Calvary. He has made his grace appear to all men, all mankind. And so the grace of God is there for whoever wants it. But there are those who accept that grace and then trash it, they trample upon it. Will those people, or for those people, will the covenant of love be forever? No. Because they have made a conscious decision to reject that covenant that God has entered into with them. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And so I want you to say to your next neighbor, do you want to finish well? It's a question. Ask your neighbor, do you want to finish well? Will you finish well? Turn to the person on the other side and ask, will you finish well? God desires that we finish well. That is why in 3 John verse 2, he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Which means our prosperity on this side of eternity is determined by the prosperity of our soul here and now. How much or how seriously do we take the word of God? How seriously do we take the promises of God? If we take those promises and run with them, then we can declare, like Paul, at the end of the day, I have finished the race. I have run my course. Right? Henceforth is laid for me what? Crowns. Paul was able to make that declaration, not because he ran an easy race, but because he ran an obstacle course. Every step of the way, Paul encountered difficulty. Thrice he was left for dead. How many times was he whipped? He was whipped all along. But at the end of the day, he was able to declare, I have finished the race. I have run my course, and henceforth is laid up for me the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. And so I want you to say to your neighbor again, you must finish well. You must finish well, because that is the desire of God for us, to finish well. You have no choice. Why? Because you see, God loves us by force. Why does he love us by force? He gave his all. He died that he might reconcile us unto himself. Anyone who does that for his fellow neighbor means business. And God means business. Now the question is, do we ourselves mean business with God? Or are we paying lip service to God? See, at this time of the year, it is normal and natural to review the events of the year, to take stock, to look at the expectations you started the year out with, the aspirations, the goals you set for yourself. Because every new year, we come up with what we call New Year resolutions. That these are the things we want to achieve this year. These are the things we must do this year. For some of us who are in business, you will understand that if you set goals and you do not put certain things in place for achieving those goals, you will not get anywhere. In our walk with the Lord, it is the same thing. There are some of us who started out this year by saying, Lord, last year, my relationship with you was not very good, but I want to make it better this year. And here we are again, another Christmas has come. We are not anywhere closer to the Lord than we were last year. So what happened? It is the time for taking stock. Back home, in my home church in Nigeria, we have what we call Letter to Jesus. Every December 31st, we have what we call the crossover service, crossover night. We spend the last 2 or 3 hours of the year and the first 3 or 4 hours of the new year in the presence of the Lord. Every member of the congregation is encouraged at the beginning of November to begin to take stock of what they have done that year. The things that they would like God to do for them the following year, to begin to pray about those things. And then put them all in a letter that we call letter to Jesus. It's pretty much like prayer requests. You write your prayer request and you drop it in the prayer box. At this time of the year, everyone is sharing testimony of what, you know, what God has done for them, the things that they asked God for, the previous crossover, how many of them have been achieved, and how many are yet to be established. At this time that we are ending the year, we need to be looking at some of those things. When we start out with the Lord, we are full of zeal. We are full of passion. We are excited about our walk with the Lord. But somewhere along the line, we begin to get the kind of letter that Jesus, in his prophecy, in the revelation that he gave to John, wrote to one of the 7 churches. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember your first love. To another he writes, you are neither cold nor hot. What happened along the way? And to another he says, there is that woman, that whore, Jezebel, sitting in your midst and has taken over the church. What happened that all of those things came to pass? And that the church that was described in the book of Revelation, 7 different churches described in the book of Revelation, not one, except perhaps the church in Philadelphia, had anything close to a pass mark. Church is not the physical structure. Church is this body that is sitting here right now. This body that is duplicated and replicated everywhere else in this country and in the nations of the world. That is why God says that our body is his temple. When we gather together, we bring one temple to another. And as we join those temples, we become the temple of God. We become the house of God. We want to look at some of the things that may have gone wrong. It's time to ask questions. It's time to begin to say, Lord, where did I miss it? Because I want to finish well. It is your desire that I finish well. And because you want me to finish well, you did everything that you could do to ensure that I finish well. You gave your life. And so this morning, as we look at those who will finish well, I want to say, number one, who are those who will finish well? Those who know their God. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you what? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. Believe in his servants, so shall you be established. What does it take to believe in the Lord God? So who are those who will finish well? Those who believe in the Lord their God. What does it take to believe in the Lord our God? You have to be part of him. You have to join him to receive anything from him. I want to illustrate by just taking us back to our homes. You are all at home Sunday afternoon or whatever time, in the evening, during the week, and suddenly the doorbell rings. The man of the house walks to the door, and there's a little child out there, a child you do not know. Do you open the door and say, please come in? Would you do that to a strange child? No. You will ask that child, who are you? What are you doing here? Where are your parents? How come you are all by yourself? Why? Because that child is not your child. But just look at the other side of the coin. The doorbell rings and you open the door and it's your child. Does that child even wait for you to fully open the door? No, they go rushing into the house. Why? Because they belong in that home. They belong in that home. They run in and run straight to the dining table and say, oh, if they find that the table is not yet set, oh, dinner is not yet ready. You see, that's the kind of relationship we have with God when we belong to Him. You are free to go to His table anytime. You are free to go into His presence anytime, and there are no questions asked. Why? Because you have a relationship with Him. Because you have, at one time, made that conscious decision to hand over your heart, your life unto Him. So you are now a member of God's family. That is why anytime you mention the name Jesus, heaven stands, you know, at attention. Because heaven is waiting for the next words that you will utter. That's why it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And Jesus, while he was here on his earthly ministry, said to us, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Why? Because that name opens doors. That name, you know, commands the attention of heaven. The moment you mention that name, it means that you belong. But you know, there are others who also mention the name who do not belong. And then they get in trouble. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? Who used the name of Jesus everywhere. And after they had profited for so long using that name, finally payback day came. And then as they began to use that name again, the demons that they were trying to cast out said, who are you? Paul, I know. Apollos, I know. But who are you? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Which means, unless you are entitled to use that name, it does not open any door. On the contrary, it draws the anger of those that you are trying to deal with. And so the first thing for those who must finish well is that they must belong to God. They would have come to a point in their lives where they make that decision that, look, come hell or high water, I will go with the Lord. Those are the people who have given their lives to God. Those are people that we call born again. Born again is not something that the Pentecostal church invented. No. Born again is in the Bible. It says in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So it means there is a difference between seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. Who are those who see the kingdom of God and who do not enter? The Israelites in the wilderness, for instance. How many of them left Egypt? And of the original number, and those who were 20 and above, how many entered the promised land? Only two. What happened to the others? They saw the kingdom of God. They experienced the salvation of God because God delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. They saw and experienced the blessings of God because all through in the wilderness, when they were hungry, they were fed. When they were thirsty, they had water to drink. So they experienced the kingdom of God. But you see, between verse 3 of John chapter 3 and verse 5, something has to happen. We not only have to be born of water, we have to be born of the Spirit before we can hope to enter the kingdom of God. That is why in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews talks about the fact that there were many who did not enter into the rest of God. Why did they not enter? For unbelief. Because even after they had seen what God can do, they still were not trusting enough. And so, for their unbelief, they were destroyed in the wilderness. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Who are those who will finish well? Those who are obedient and trusting. You see, John writes and says, be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers. It's not enough to hear the word. Hearing the word actually can be used in judgment against us when we do not do the words that we hear. That is why you hear certain ministers say, pray all the time, Lord, let no one in this congregation stand in judgment as a result of the word that they hear today and fail to do. So we are called not just to be hearers of the word, but the doers of the word as well. Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red as crimson and as scarlet, they will become what? White as snow. And verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Those who were destroyed in the wilderness were destroyed because they were not willing and they were not obedient. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Who are those who will finish well? Those who belong to God. Those who have given their lives to God. Those who have acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior. Who are those who will finish well? Those who are willing and obedient. Those who put their trust in God. He says, whosoever puts his trust in me shall never be put to shame. Are we willing to put our trust in God? Are we willing to be the doers of the word and not just hearers only? May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. 1 Peter 2, 6 to 12 talks about people who belong to God, people who begin to backslide. And you will find that thought repeated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. We shall talk about that very soon. Those who return to their vomit. Not just backslide, but they actually return to their vomit. The determination of God, you see, many of us return to our vomit, many of us backslide, many of us fail to follow Jesus because we do not truly believe his word. In Isaiah 42, for instance, Isaiah 43, beg your pardon, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4, it says, you are mine. I have ransomed you. And that ransom is referring to the sacrifice he paid on Calvary. And he said, when you pass through the waters, you will not be drowned. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. Many of us miss it when we look at the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower who went about scattering seeds. He threw seeds in different places. There were some that were choked to death by what? The cares of this world. When we become too busy with activities of the world, we can get carried away from God. For instance, if you go to any golf course in this country today, you are bound to find Christians playing golf on a Sunday morning. I'm sure you will find Christians there. What has happened to some of those Christians? They have gotten to such a point of ease and affluence that they now put their business over and above fellowship with God. On a Sunday morning, when they should be in the presence of the Lord, worshiping God in the midst of other believers, they believe that because there is this one person, they have to sign a deal with. They have to conclude a deal. And that person has said to them, meet me at Frankfort on Sunday morning. Right. He forgets that he's supposed to be worshiping his God. What has he done? He has made a deliberate decision to set God aside and to run after that deal. And yet this is somebody who, when he was praying to get to that point of ease and affluence, was in every prayer meeting, attended every prayer vigil. Whenever he found out there was going to be a Christian gathering, he will be there. In some cases, he will be the first to be there, waiting for the meeting to actually start. But now, the success has come, and the success has become a distraction, distracting him from the God. And yet, God says, and you shall remember that I am the one who gives you power to obtain wealth. For what purpose? That my covenant with your fathers may be established. And so when we pray for wealth and it doesn't come, it is because God knows that that wealth is going to become a distraction. That when it comes, we are going to end up on the golf course instead of being in the presence of the Lord. Those who must finish well are those who stay on course. They do not allow themselves to be distracted to the left or to the right. They do not hear the voice behind them saying, come, let's go play golf on a Sunday morning. No. Instead, when they hear that kind of voice, like Jesus did to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's the way it should be. You see, when you talk about being sold out to God, you know you can be very wealthy and yet be sold out to God. Because you know the source of that wealth. You know the one who gave you the power to obtain that wealth. You know the one who teaches your hand to profit. That his name is the Almighty, our Father in heaven. And you know and are aware that if you turn your back against him, he too will turn his back against you. And what will happen to the wealth? Fizzles out in no time. So who are those who must finish well? Those who know their God. Those who trust him. Those who obey him. Those who stay on course and refuse to be distracted. If you look at that parable of the sower once again, it says that there are some seeds that were thrown on shallow soil. They actually sprouted. They began to do very well. But because there was no depth to the soil, what happened? They began to wither and finally they died. There are some of us in the church who have not established a foundation deep enough or strong enough for God to build upon. Any building that is going up into the sky has to have a foundation that is deep into the ground, because that is the only kind of foundation that can hold that skyscraper. There are some of us in the church who have not allowed God to dig that foundation beneath us. We are not regular at Bible study meetings. We do not belong to any small group. Even when we come to church, we might stroll in at the end of the message. There are others who believe that worship, praise and worship is not part of worshiping God. And so they will come at the end of worship. But you see, everything that we do when we gather together, from the intercessory prayer in the morning, through the offering, through the praise and the worship, through the word that we share, up to the benediction, makes our worship complete and total. Small group meeting, whether it be on Tuesday or on Wednesday, is part of that foundation that God wants to dig. Asking questions and receiving answers is part. Being part of church activities is part of that foundation. But I bet there are some of us, even in this congregation, who are just Sunday Christians. Sunday will not cut it. Sunday will not do it. How many of us take time out to actually study the word at home, not when we are in church, at home on a daily basis? I'm not talking about quiet time now. Over and above the quiet time, how many of us actually study the word? That is part of the foundation that God wants to build upon. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So, those who know their gods, Daniel declared, shall be strong and do what? And do exploits. Those who know their gods shall be strong and do exploits. Not like the seeds that are thrown in that shallow soil. Because the depth is not deep enough. The soil is not deep enough. When the challenges of this life actually come, when we begin to face those obstacles, we give up. We turn back. Remember, there was a time in John chapter 6. So many apostles, so many disciples went with Jesus. But when it got to what they defined as the hard teachings of Jesus, the Bible said many turned away and went back. So much so that Jesus turned to Peter and the others and said, "Will you also go away?" But look at the response of Peter. "Where shall we go to? For you have the words of eternal life." And so if we intend to finish well, we must hold on to the words of eternal life. We must dig deep into the scriptures. Is it Matthew 5:39 that says, "Search ye the scriptures, for therein ye find the words of eternal life." God wants to do a new thing with us. God desires that we finish well. But whether we finish well or not is a decision that we ourselves have to take. His covenant of love is forever. But do we want that covenant of love forever? Not just on this side of eternity, but on the other side. Because it is what we do on this side of eternity that will determine where we spend the other side of eternity. Eternity with God in heaven or eternity in hell. And remember, hell itself is not the ultimate destination for those who reject God on this side. The ultimate destination is that lake, of that eternal lake, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire and brimstone. Because it says in Revelation, death itself shall be held captive and thrown into the lake, and then hell itself and all those who are in it shall also be thrown into that lake of burning fire. Where do we want to spend eternity? Is it with God or is it in the lake, because that's the ultimate destination? The decision is ours. And right now, as we bow our heads, let us begin to talk to God and say, Lord, it is your desire that I finish well. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. I don't want to be counted amongst those that you say have returned to their vomit. I don't want to be one of those you describe as empty wells, wells without water. For many of us, the reason we turn back is because we become frightful. We fear that unless we do certain things to help God, as if God needed our help, we will not be able to reach our goal. But God, who started this work, says he is faithful to complete it before the day of the Lord. I don't know how many of us, as a result of fear, have moved away from God or have failed to believe God as a result of intense and persistent persecution, have had cause to doubt the word of God. And so, we do not entirely put our trust in God. But some inspired people of God have defined fear as false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, fear. But God says to us in his word every day, fear not. It is I. Be not afraid, for I am your God. Be not dismayed, for I am with you. Those are the words of God. Those three expressions, fear not, for I am your God. Be not afraid, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, appear 365 times in the Bible. Which means every day of the year, God is whispering to our hearts and into our ears, fear not. Be not dismayed. Be not afraid. Sometimes, the evidence that we see are not false. They are real. Like when the 10 spies went into the promised land, and some of them came back with reports of giants in the land. The giants were real. But in spite of the reality of the giants, God is saying to our hearts, fear not. I, who began this work in you, is more than able, will be faithful to complete it before the day of the Lord. Has he said it? And will he not bring it to pass? Whose report will you believe? The report of the giants, the report of the world concerning the giants, or the report of the Lord that says, the battle is not yours, but mine. The report of the Lord that says, and you shall hold your peace, and I shall fight for you. The report of the Lord that says, when you pass through the waters, you will not be drowned. God is not saying if. He knows you will pass through the waters. But he says to you, as you pass through the waters, he is in the waters to deliver you. He did not say if you pass through the fire. He knows you will pass through the fire. But he says, you will not be burned. Is he not the same God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Who, because they knew the God they believed in, were ready to face any consequence that stood before them. And as they were thrown into that fire, the Son of God was with them in that fire. Because he is the one who had promised, when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. And the Bible records that the only thing that was burned in those three men were the cords of their bondage. the cords with which they were tied. And so are you here this morning? The Lord is asking you, do you want to finish well? Will you finish well? Will you believe my word? Will you not only hear my word, but do my word? The Lord is saying, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This morning, the Lord is saying, even the captive of the terrible shall be delivered. The lawful captive shall be set free. It does not matter what legal hold the enemy has in your life. If you only believe, if you will only believe, God is saying that deliverance is here in Mount Zion. That you will receive your deliverance here and now. Before we pray, is there anyone here who has not entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know you are here. You may have been attending church for long, but you know deep in your heart, because the truth is known between you and God and the devil, that you do not belong to God. You have not at any time made that conscious decision to surrender your life unto Jesus. Are you here this morning? Just wave your hand where you're seated. If you are here and you have not made that conscious decision, you know you do not belong, because God will not fight for you if you are not His. Are you here this morning? Praise the Lord. The rest of us, shall we begin to tell God how serious we are about finishing well? Because God is determined that we finish well. God is saying that His covenant with us is forever. Are we willing to make that covenant last forever? Let us talk to God. And if you are here, you know that every now and again, you make that resolve to finish well. You want to believe the word of God. You want to trust God implicitly. But somehow, you miss it every now and again. And you need strength. You need encouragement. You need assistance in one form or the other. You will want the leadership of this church to pray with you. Pray with you concerning that matter. It might be a weakness. It might be a habit. It might be a vice that keeps taking you away from God. But you want that thing to end today, because you have made a decision to finish well. Why don't you just raise your hand where you are seated? You want prayers, yes. And as you raise your hand, my brother, my sisters, there's nothing to be shy about. Just stand to your feet and come to the front, because you see, when two or three shall agree as touching anything here on earth, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. There is nothing like the prayer of agreement. There is that thing that keeps standing between you and God. And God says, today, I want to give you that solution, because He's here in our midst. He wants to deliver us. We are in Mount Zion. And the word says that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance for the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you come forward, begin to talk to God in your own language. No fancy language. No, don't pretend, because God knows what that matter is. Just begin to mention it to Him. Begin to hand it over to Him and ask Him to take it over from you, because in your own strength, you cannot do it. But the Spirit of the living God is here, and the Spirit of the living God is willing, ready, and able to give you that solution, because He is the solution. Talk to God about it and then we will pray. Talk to God. Talk to God about that thing that stands between you and Him. Talk to God about that thing that keeps dragging you back. Talk to God about that matter that makes it difficult for you to be a doer as well as a hearer of the word. It might be strength that you need. You just might be asking God to fortify the gates of your mind, to fortify the gates of your soul. He already shed His blood to ensure that that happens. And He has given us His Holy Spirit of promise as a seal of that covenant. And so as you hand that matter over to God, ask that the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, begin to cleanse you. And as you pray that prayer of cleansing, ask that the Holy Spirit of God will come into you afresh. Because God says that as we bring repentance unto Him, times of refreshing will come from His presence. You are in God's presence now. Ask for that time of refreshing to come back into your life. Yeah, begin to talk to God about that. First of all, confess that weakness. Confess that thing that has brought you forward as a sin. Acknowledge it as a weakness. And ask God to take it from you and to forgive you your sin. Ask God, as He forgives you your sin, to restore you to where He wants you to be. And as that restoration takes place, ask that the blood of Jesus Christ will from today protect you. Protect that area of your mind or your soul that the enemy is always attacking. And pray that the Holy Spirit will seal you afresh unto God Himself. And as you bring your prayers to a close, I would just like to agree with you in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, You are indeed our Father. And because You are our Father, You desire that we be where You are. Lord, we stand before You. Those who are standing in front, please, can you just lift up your arms as a sign of surrender? Lord, we stand before You this morning in Your presence. We have come to Zion, and You have said again and again that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance for Your people. Lord, this morning, You have heard the prayer of every man, every woman, and every child standing before You now. Father, there are matters, there are issues. There are weights that they have brought before You. I am asking Almighty God that You will take away those weights. You will remove those issues from their lives. You will take care of those matters, O God. And Father, in exchange, You will give every one of them Your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, the blood that Jesus shed for us on Calvary, let that blood wash us afresh now in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, everlasting Father, it is Your promise that whatsoever the enemy has stolen from us, You will restore. And so I pray now, Father, that You will visit every man, every woman, and every child standing before You now and begin a work of restoration in their lives in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, everlasting Father, let each one of them receive right now from Your presence times of renewal, times of refreshing, times of renewal, times of refreshing in the name of Jesus. Let Your Holy Spirit wash over each one of them. Let Your Holy Spirit envelop each one of them, Lord. Let them begin to receive strength for their spirits, O God. Strength for their souls and strength for their bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, we rebuke the evil one. We come against every demon that has tormented these ones. Every demon, whether in flesh or in the spirit, that has attacked the minds of these ones. And we ask Almighty God that as your blood covers each one of them, Lord, that those things will never return to them in the name of Jesus. Those things will never return to them in the name of Jesus. Father, as those things look in the direction of these ones, O God, they shall see your name round about them. They shall see your blood round about them. They shall see your Holy Spirit round about them. For as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so will your presence, O God, surround these ones who in fear of you have come before your presence this day. Our Lord and our God, we join our faith to their faith and ask Almighty God that you will meet each one of them at the point of their need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.